praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We're not ashamed of you. We praise you, Jesus, in this place. I just ask you, Holy Spirit, to move on every heart right now. Father, we humble ourselves in your presence. We recognize that it's a privilege to be here. It's not that we honor you with our presence. It's an honor that you allow us to come into your presence, Lord. We're so very grateful. We praise you, Jesus. We set all hypocrisy and acting aside. Surrender our whole hearts to you. Every part of who we are, Lord, we give it to you. We don't want to be like the religious people in Jesus' day who just practiced a form of dead religion but had no real relationship with you outside of church. They were false, Jesus said. We don't want to be like that, Lord. We want to be real children of God. We praise you and exalt you, Jesus. We magnify you and bless you in this place. You're a merciful God. We thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood that you shed for us on the cross that we might be saved. We praise you and exalt you, Lord. Bind every hindrance of this service in Jesus' name. To extend your faith this way, Father, we just ask you to have your way in us today by your Holy Spirit. We yield to you. Teach us, Holy Spirit, how to become more fully surrendered in every way. We know in your word, Father, that half-heartedness is always rejected. Every single time. Father, we give you our whole hearts right now in your presence. We surrender every fiber of our being to you. You gave your best for us. You gave your only Son, Father. With every arena, every area of our lives, we give our best for you, Lord. We praise you and exalt you. I just ask you, Lord, to have your way in every one of our spirits and our hearts. I bind you, Satan, from hindering this service. We break every curse. Father, we just praise your angels are here ministering to each person. Just ask you, Holy Spirit, to work in us what's well-pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. We praise you and exalt you, Lord. You're a merciful God. You're a merciful God. By your grace, you've given us a salvation we deserved. Punishment forever. You gave it to us as you're a merciful God. We don't want to neglect. We don't want to neglect what you've given us, Lord. Help us not to take it for granted. I plead blood of Jesus over everyone here and everyone who's to come. Hallelujah, Jesus. Replikia kisikimon da kiedra makasikiri loto ma prakasi. Le chiede mosse che hanno molto blacca che si chiede mondo che adorma che si tiema ca. Rotama, he said this, for many in this generation treat prophecies with contempt. For they do not know me, nor do they understand the operation of my spirit. So they therefore despise that which is spoken by my spirit, says the Lord. Have I not said in my word that there are many things that I will speak by my spirit, says the Lord? So humble yourselves and recognize the operation which I speak through, the channel which I bring information to you through, says the Lord. For it's through these gifts that I speak from my throne, and it's through these gifts that I will touch your hearts if you will allow me in. You must draw on the anointings. You must hunger for a move of my Spirit, for that is who I am. Hallelujah, Jesus. Roblekia sikimotom blaki sikilikia mondo kirkiedramaka. Rodamaki sikilitombaki sikilikia. He said, This is what I desire of you after you become my children, says the Lord. For I desire with all of my heart for a changed life, for a complete transformation. You must press in, for I will not do it for you. I have equipped you. I have given you the nature of my Spirit within. And contained within that nature is everything in seed form. If you will nurture what I've placed within your spirit, if you will nurture and care for what I've placed within you, you will grow and you will mature. So do not neglect what I've given you, says the Lord. But press in with your whole hearts. Allow me to work within you, for you must yield. I will not force, but I continually persuade those who are willing to hear. So open up your ears and be willing to hear what the Spirit says. Open up your hearts and be willing to obey what the Spirit says the Lord. Ropakia siki lemonda ki siki lekia marabotoma kasi. He said these words. He said, the world's heart beats to prove that I am not real, says the Lord. To prove that I'm not a living God, but just a form of legalistic rituals. But this is as far as who I am as can be, says the Lord. For I am the living God. I'm the living God who works miracles every day in your midst and longs to move. I'm the living one. And I long to make myself very real to all humanity. But my children must come to me. They must come boldly unto my throne of grace. They must spend time with me so they can abide in my love and become like me. For it's those who abide in my love and become like me that make me real to the world, says the Lord. You know, the scripture comes to mind. He says in 1 John chapter 4, he says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God's love is made complete in us. In other words, if we will simply have an intimate relationship and a fellowship with God, we'll become like God. The world is going to see God through us. You see, God is invisible, the Bible says. God can manifest Himself, but He chooses and He prefers to be the unseen God. Because He's testing the hearts of humanity to see who will seek Him if happily they might find Him, the Bible says. He's looking over all of His creation, looking and longing for those who will elect themselves to make the choice to go into to search Him out and find Him. What the world's heart beats is they want to see something before they do anything, but God wants you to do something before He reveals Himself. He will never reveal Himself to anyone who doesn't first seek Him. See, because He's not going to oppose Himself on them. He does not do that. He's a loving God. He's in His great love. He did not create you robots. He gave you the ability to have your own personality and free will to choose Him or to reject Him. You see, we have to choose Him. And in the same way that we choose Him once we're born again, we also choose how much we're going to love Him. We can talk all we want how much we believe in God and how much we love God. I love God. Everybody says I love God. But love is not just words. Love is an action. Faith is not just speaking words or a mental imagination that we can conjure up in our minds. Faith is an action. He said, faith without actions is dead. It's worthless. It's meaningless. He says that the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. James 2:26. He says, you believe in one God, good, the demons believe and tremble, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without deeds is dead? To say that we believe in God but not go to church, to say that we believe in God but not read our Bibles, to say that we believe in God but not surrender our whole lives to Him is all wishful thinking. The path to hell is paved by wishful thinking. To say that we believe in prosperity without seeking God with our whole hearts and obeying Him, all of His commands, so that He's able to bless us, you're deceiving yourselves. To say that we believe in healing and then to question everything that God has said every time you look at your symptoms or the way your body is screaming at you that it feels, it's useless. To say that you believe in God's protection but you have to carry a handgun everywhere you go, you don't believe in His protection. Don't believe in it. I know churches where they carry guns. The ushers have guns on them. You kidding me? John Hagee stood up behind the pulpit and a man walked right up to him with a handgun and he shot over a dozen times point blank at him and every bullet missed him. Why? Because he believed in God. He believed in God's protection. Did he pull out a handgun and said, I command you to surrender? Absolutely not. Another man of God said, in fact, I seen a video where a man pulled out a machete and he did his maneuver with it and tried to attack the man of God and fell flat down on the ground. I watched it. I seen it with my own eyes. Another man of God said that he sensed something was wrong with the man in the front row. And he asked the man, he said, do you have a problem with me? He said, I'm here to kill you. He said, I don't like you because my wife got saved and now she follows your teachings. And the man came running up the front row, came running towards the man of God as fast as he could. And he got about 15 feet away and looked like he hit a brick wall and fell flat on his back. What is that? The Bible says that God is our shield. He's our buckler. He's our fortress. He's our strong tower. He's our stronghold. He's our ever-present help in time of need, in time of trouble. He's our shelter and shade from the heat of the day, and our refuge and our hiding place from the storm and the rain. Do you believe it? If you believe it, then you will speak it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:13, and we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. If you have an illness in your body or if you have a financial problem, this is what you are to do. You are to seek God with your whole heart. That He will meet that need. You don't seek the material thing. You seek God for the material thing. For a Christian to claim that they have financial problems and they're believing God for prosperity, but to just release a few words off their lips every day, they've deceived themselves. The Bible commands us to seek God with our whole hearts. And then you have another person that just got born again and you tell them about faith and they need $2,000 by Friday, and they spend 4 or 5 hours a day walking around thanking Him that they have it. And it comes. And the rest sit in the crowd, and they acknowledge what is said, but they'll never actually do anything like that in their lives. Their whole lives, they'll hear the preacher tell them that this works. The preacher does this. He believes God. He practices these principles. They actually work every single time for the preacher who tells you behind the pulpit, and the congregation looks and says, yeah, that sounds great. I'm smarter than you, pastor. I got my own way to do it. Don't believe me? How many of you have done this? Don't raise any hands. Same thing with sickness or disease. If you have something attacking your body, you should treat it the same way as you would treat a person running up to you with a machete. Because you are being attacked by Satan, and his intention is not to leave you alive. He's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. He only comes for those reasons, it says in John 10:10. But Christians leave themselves an option. They leave the doctors as an option. If you go to a third world country and somebody's sick and you say Jesus will heal you, they receive their healing. Why? Because they have no option. You tell the Christian that God will heal you, they run to the doctors like Asa did. He had a foot disease in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, and it says he died because he did not consult the Lord from a simple foot disease. Could have been cured, but because his heart was not towards the Lord and his heart was putting faith in the doctors, he died over it. You see? I've seen Christians who don't go to church on a regular basis damage their brains. When is it that the body of Christ is going to rise up and begin to believe that God is to be worshipped? He's to be served. The word Elohim is mentioned over 3,000 times in your Bible. And it means Him who is to be worshipped. Not Him who should maybe be worshipped when we feel like it. God created you for that reason, to worship Him.
Amen.
You're created to worship. You should walk around all day worshiping God. I don't even feel like you should have a right not to do it because He created you. I sent out the text message about the machine. Did anybody get the message about the machine? Okay. You're a human, God is God. If you are, as a human, to say, I'm going to start a business and I'm going to design a machine, and this machine is going to create a certain type of part, and you design the machine and it was designed to specifically do one function. Now, because you have that machine, it's operating properly. If that machine started operating improperly, you would do whatever you could to try to remedy the situation, to save the machine, to fix the machine that you spent so much time and effort designing, correct? You would try to fix that machine. That's the first thing you would do. But if the machine continued to malfunction, in fact, it even got worse, it started to work against you. At that point, if there was no response to any kind of trial of remedy, it just absolutely refused to respond, eventually you'd have to discard that machine. You are that machine. God created you for His good purpose. You don't belong. If you belong to Jesus and He's your Lord, that means He's your master. The Bible calls us slaves to Christ in Romans chapter 6. He said, we were slaves to sin, now we're slaves to Christ. So we're going to be a slave to someone, it might as well be to God, not the devil. Amen?
Amen.
And if we belong to Him, He's our Lord. If He's our Lord, we don't have to go to hell. That means we get to go to heaven.
Amen.
If He's your Lord, you're fully surrendered to Him. Everything the Bible says, if anyone be in Christ, this is the absolute gauge to know if you're born again. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. It says, old things are gone. All things have become new, and all things are of God. That's where you lose most. If all things are not of God in your life, then I have no reason to believe you're a true believer. If you watch violence on television and all that garbage you're pumping into your spirit, if you are even saved, I would tell you, you are walking on the gates of hell, putting that garbage in your spirit, because your life will move in the direction of your most dominant thought. If you're consenting in your heart that it's okay to watch violence as entertainment, then you've already consented in your heart that that's who you are. It's not okay. If you watch sexual immorality and coarse joking where they joke about it, and people shacking up that are not married on TV, and you laugh at that, the Bible talks about that. He says, not only do they know that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. You're approving of those who practice them. He's classifying you as an unbeliever, according to Romans chapter 2. Satan's got an easy job in this generation. All he's got to do is get believers to consent in their heart that these things are okay, and he can still take them to hell. It's almost as if people don't realize that their form of entertainment should be found in God. Entertain me. There's no entertainment before television and the radio like you have today. What kind of attraction is that you can't let go of that filth? The Bible says, Deuteronomy 7:26, David said, I'll set no... Psalm 101:2, he says, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. Not even one. He said, I'll walk before you with a blameless heart. He said, a perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. He said in Deuteronomy 7:26, he said, neither shall you bring an abomination in your house, lest you become a cursed thing like it. But you should utterly detest it, and you should utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. And if there's even one person listening in this room that's heard this message before, and you just know very well you're going to go home, you're going to watch that filth again, shame on you. Absolute shame. I never heard a pastor talk this way. Maybe you've never seen a real pastor. But let me tell you something, that stuff's going to drag you into hell. This is not a joke. Sin is evil, and consent of sin in your heart is just as bad as you doing it yourself. It's not okay. Cussing and swearing on Facebook? What is this filth? The Bible says to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and don't believe, nothing is pure. Their minds and their consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. They're detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. They know about it. If you're the one that's holding the congregation back, and you are the one drawing this from the Holy Spirit every week, we can't leave this for some reason. Shame on you. It's you. Other people come into this church, they leave, they hear me yelling at you. It's your fault. You're going to be accountable for God, not me. I'm telling you what He wants me to say. How do you know it's God? I know Him. And you could know Him if you'd get rid of the filth that separates you from Him. There's no fellowship with light and darkness. And as long as you fellowship with the darkness, you are not even yet in the light. I don't care what you feel. This is not about a feeling. It's about God's Word, and His Word says we have to be separate. He said, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and then I'll receive you and be a father to you. You'll be my sons and daughters. Until, as long as you're touching the unclean thing, you're not a son or daughter. I believe I am. Doesn't matter what you believe. Bible says, but I feel like God loves me. Doesn't matter what you feel. He's your enemy. As long as you're living in darkness, His wrath is on you, the Bible says. God loves everybody. No, He doesn't. He loved everybody enough to provide a sacrifice. And I'll prove to you He doesn't love everybody. He loved everybody enough to provide a sacrifice for them, and He expects everyone to respond to His love and come into the love. He's not going to force His love on anyone. That's what the Bible says. I believe this way. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't make any difference what anybody believes, what I believe, or anybody else, if it doesn't line up with Scripture. If you got such an attraction to that television that pumps that filth in your home, then destroy that thing. What kind of attraction is it? Do you think it's God that influences you to watch that filth? I didn't watch anything. You go to the movie. I go to God's Not Dead. That's a great movie. The movie had a worldly spirit about it. I've seen it. Worldly spirit about it. Very worldly spirit about that movie. Yes, it had some good message in it, but that doesn't mean it was anointed, and it doesn't mean that it was everything God intended it to be. David Wilkinson said that he had some friends or some old friends that still were in the world at the time. He said God gave him a vision. He seen an angel of God going from house to house at a very, very extremely high rate of speed and stopping before every house. And he said the people that were in their house, they were watching the television and the things at the world and laughing about it. He said the angel passed by their house. They missed the rapture. You don't think God will do it? He did it in the Old Testament. He said anyone who didn't grieve or mourn over the condition of the nation of Israel, He said go through and murder. He said destroy them without mercy or compassion. Have no compassion on these people. Why? Because they brought judgment on themselves. God's looking for people who will serve Him. I think it's fun to watch people fight each other. This is what I represent. Let me tell you something. It's not okay. It's not okay to support violence. It's not okay to have sex outside of marriage. Why does He keep talking about what I do every time? Because it's God trying to talk through me. It's not okay. It's not okay to pleasure yourself before you go to bed. It's not okay to get drunk as a Christian. It's not okay to lie. It's not okay. It's, call it darkness. It's evil. It's not okay to swear. Bible says let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Matthew 5:37. James took it a step further. He said let your yes be yes and your no, no. You be condemned. Does anybody in this generation hear me scream at them? Hello. I feel like I'm Noah saying there's a flood coming. You need to repent. And everybody's looking, go, yeah, we're doing okay. But you're judging yourselves in light of your idea of holiness, not God's. He says absolute purity, separation from the world. It's not okay to have one foot in the world and consider yourself saved. Forget about it. He wants whole surrender. The reason it's so difficult for the people in this generation to do so is because the culture that you live in was much easier in other generations. He said it'll be terrible times in last days. People be lovers of themselves. That's what most even claiming Christians are, lovers of themselves. They don't care about God's agenda. They care about their own agenda and adding Jesus to their selfish lifestyle as if it's going to save them. It's dangerous. Terrible times in the last days. People be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Boastful. Proud, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love. Unforgiving. It says slanderers, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with them, the Bible says. Most people are more concerned about their self-gratification than what God thinks. They get mad at the preacher when he tells them the truth. Tickle my ears, pastor. Just say encouraging words. Don't believe me? I send out text messages and it's just like he said in the Old Testament. I send these text messages out to you people. I get an amen back only when I say an encouraging word. What are you doing? You're being used by the enemy. Why you say that, pastor? You're encouraging me. You're encouraging me to only give you encouraging words. It's the same thing that the people did to the prophets in the Old Testament. Amen, brother. But as soon as there's any correction, everybody gets real quiet. Why? Pride. Pride. People aren't willing to be corrected. They've already consented in their hearts, this is what I'm going to do, and you can preach to me all you want, preacher. I'm not going to change. I'm going to do what I want to do. It's not okay. If Jesus is your master, that means that you are tomorrow ready to enroll in Bible college and do whatever God wants you to do. Your life ends today. It's over with. 1,000 excuses running through some of your heads right now. I encourage every single believer called to preach or not should go through a good 2 years of Bible college, minimum, at least, so they can get some kind of foundation beneath them, because I can't do it having you 3 hours a week. Not strong enough for you to become a vigorous, strong Christian in a short period of time before Jesus comes. That's your job. It's my job. But until you're willing to surrender to that level to God, there's only so much I can do with you. Because if you won't do it for yourself, then why do you even come? A lot of people say they want to go to Bible college, you want to do this or that, and then you watch their actions. Nothing lines up. It's just talk. It's all pretense, the Bible says. It's talk, talk, talk. I genuinely meant it. Well, don't lie to God. Everything's uncovered and laid bare before His eyes. He's looking for a full surrender from you. This is not a bunch of rules. God is not a bunch of rules, but He cannot have an intimate relationship with anyone who refuses to surrender their whole hearts, every part of your heart. Let me give you an example of what a full surrender looks like. I'll tell you what mine looked like. A glimmer of light just flickered in my spirit, and I just thought for a moment, if Jesus is my Lord, I have to give up everything. This is many, many years ago. And I wept and I cried and I said, God, I'm going to really do this. I'm going to give you my whole life because I know you require my whole life. And I went through my entire house and I threw everything away. Nobody had to preach at me to do it. I did it myself. I chose to go through my house and throw everything away. That day, I didn't try to hold on to anything. I threw it all away. Everything that was not of God in my house, I got rid of all of it. Everything that I knew of. And if I found anything else down the road, I just threw it right away. All the music, everything, cracked, every CD. I didn't want anybody to get a hold of the filth. Kind of music were you listening to? Just secular music. And when I got rid of everything that I could think of, I turned the radio stations in my car to all Christian music. It was over with. I said, I'm here. What do you want with me? Whatever you want, I will do whatever you want me to do. That's a full surrender to God. That's when someone's really born again. Until that happens, I think people are playing games with God. And unfortunately, most of the people that really have a true, genuine, born again experience like that are crackheads, prostitutes. They're broken, homeless, people out on the streets, but people that are still not 100% reliant and they're not broken yet. They just, their heart never breaks for Jesus. They never give in. They try to mix the world with Jesus. Go to James chapter 4. I'll show you in Scripture that it doesn't work. We made a covenant relationship. We entered into covenant with God if you're born again. A covenant is the same thing that happens when a male and a female, they get engaged and they decide that we're going to get married. What they're saying is we're going to enter into a covenant with each other that can never be broken. We're giving our lives to each other. There's no secrets between us. What's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine. Our finances belong to each other. There's no hidden agenda. I give every fiber of my being to you, and they get married. Okay? That's a marriage. It's the exact same thing with God. We have to surrender to Him fully. James chapter 4, he says this. I planned on talking about the love of God today, but I cannot stand in front of people. He draws this out of me. I can see it. Just look over the crowd. I can see it. I can't help but to speak what He shows me. And eventually we're going to get the point and we're going to be able to move on. He says this in James 4, verse 1, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend on what that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Verse 4, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? You got to read between the lines, Pastor Dan. That means what it says. But unfortunately, until I can persuade you to actually do this, you're never going to see it from the other side until you enter in yourself. I can't tell you, there's been people who have preached against me, come up against me, wrote me letters this long, how my everything I'm teaching is wrong, and blah, 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 blah. One pastor even told a woman, a claiming woman of God, that it's her typical case, he's an abusive person. He's just a young, dumb pastor that doesn't know what he's talking about. That's right. And this day, she writes me letters and tells me that everything you said was right because I prophesied to her many words and everything happened just like I said it was going to happen. And finally she repented because the judgment that I said God had set was going to come to her. And when she seen it coming, she finally repented and the judgment was stayed. And this day she still says to every, she still says, you are the example of love, she says to me. She sends me things like that. She said, when you send that scripture about forgiveness, I think of you. The greatest act of kindness is to warn someone when they're bringing themselves to a place of danger. There's no greater thing. The book of Revelation is a blatant warning against humanity, saying, look, if you don't repent, this is the judgment that's coming for you. The whole book of Revelation, the whole, almost all the prophets is a blatant warning against sin. You have to recognize that most of your Bible's a warning against the consequences of what's going to happen if you don't surrender your whole life to God. If we fear God, we'll obey His commandments. He says this, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. So we have to make the choice if we're in a covenant, a marriage type relationship with God, if we're going to have a good marriage, or if we're going to live in adultery with the world. If I were you, I wouldn't watch any television that's not based upon the Bible in truth and love. Wouldn't watch it. It's all full of pride. Even the most clean thing on secular television is at least full of pride. It's training you. Satan's using it as a tool, and you're yielding to him instead of the Holy Spirit that's telling you, shut it off and go read your Bible. I said to meditate my word day and night. Don't put that filth in your spirit. I told you to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart flows the issues of life. Don't put it in your heart. Don't put it in your heart. You override it. You sear your conscience. Eventually, you can't hear God saying it anymore. All of a sudden, some preacher comes and says it's adultery with the world. Another glimmer of hope. Just another chance. Just another opportunity to judge yourself and say it's wrong. I'm not going to sear my conscience anymore. I know that what the pastor is saying is right. And the reason I get angry is because I'm all full of flesh over here. Or even worse, snicker in your heart because there's so much evil stored up in there from your past lifestyle of drunkenness. And you think this is a joke. Go to John chapter 14. I am not yelling at you because I'm an angry person. I am a preacher. I am to proclaim the gospel. And there is no good news until you know that the bad news is. If you go and tell people God loves them, that is not going to get anybody saved. Unless you tell them that if they don't repent, they're going to go to hell. It says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. They first have to be sorry and recognize the consequences of sin. That's the purpose of the law. God said, this is your standard. You got to obey the Ten Commandments. If you don't, death. You need to put your faith in the coming Messiah. He says this in John chapter 14, real quickly. I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus is coming out of heaven in the clouds, and you're going to hear the voice of the archangel and a trumpet call of God. The dead in Christ are going to raise first, and we who are in Christ are going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But if we're living one foot in the world, you're going to miss this event, and it's going to be, it says, destruction's going to come on them suddenly. Who? He says those in darkness, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Do you think coarse joking is light? You think that's light or darkness? Because most of your television programming is full of darkness. And he says this, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking, for of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. In other words, any words contrary to what he just said, he said, you know, another place said, if anyone doesn't take to heart what's written in this letter, take special note of him. Don't even associate with him in order that he may be ashamed. God requires holiness for his children. Video games are full of violence. It's just, if there's something in you that is rejecting what I'm saying, ask yourself right now, what is that attraction? Do you think that's the Holy Spirit that's leading you to think that the pastor's wrong? Or do you think it's the devil? Do you think the Holy Spirit is influencing you to watch that? That you just can't let go of the Facebook page that's full of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the boasting of what it has, what one has and does? He says, the world and its desires pass away. The man who does the will of God lives forever. He said, all those things come from the world. In other words, if you're going to pass away with it if you're caught up in that mess. Let it go. Let it go. Touch no unclean thing and I'll receive you, says the Lord Almighty. Touch no unclean, nothing. Purity. To the pure, all things are pure. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. It's not okay to be disobedient. If God's dealing with you to do something, you need to treat it as if it's got to get done right now. Amen?
Amen?
We need to be striving with our whole hearts. He says this in John 14. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father and He'll give you another comforter to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. It says the world cannot receive Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and shall be in you. He says, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. That's in unity, not bodily entrance into. Verse 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He said it twice in just a few verses. Whoever has my commands, in other words, you have to first have His Word. He makes it very clear in verse 15 that the commands He's talking about is the Word of God. Very clear in chapter 15. Very clear. He says here, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. You could say it like this, if they don't obey my commands, we're not going to love them. Why? Because you're his enemy. His enemies are the ones that don't obey him. The Bible says God's wrath is on all nations that don't obey him. His anger and his wrath. You talk a lot about the wrath of God. The Bible talks a lot about the wrath of God, but you won't hear it from any pulpits, from behind many pulpits today. Why? Because they take orders from the congregation. The sheep tell the preachers what they want to hear. That's why. And the preachers are so spiritually weak that they listen. But let me tell you something. This pastor is not spiritually weak. And I don't care who encourages me to say what. I'm going to preach the Word of God because it burns like a fire. And like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces. That's the Word of God. Not this wimpy, happy-go-lucky, self-made motivational speaker message with Scripture added to it. That's not the gospel. The gospel is repent, give your whole heart to Jesus, and then you're going to experience His love and tender kindness and mercies. God is a tender, merciful, loving God. This message is definitely not for me or my household. It's not a reminder. We walk around in the presence of the love of God. The Bible's always playing in our house. We live this gospel. You bragging? No, I'm supposed to set an example for you. We don't watch the television. Haven't in years. Don't want nothing to do with it. Last time we turned it on, it was to watch the movie Daniel, the book of Daniel. It was a biblical movie that was biblically accurate. And that was probably almost 8 months or maybe even a year ago. You listen to any secular music, I won't even touch the filth. And if I pull up to a gas station Whether you ever seen them, the gas stations that play the music or the television, I either cover my ears or I'll get back in the van and I'll drive away and go find one that doesn't try to, that isn't a channel for Satan to indoctrinate me with his worldliness through. Why? Because the Bible commands me to guard my heart with all diligence, for out of my heart flows the issues of life. So it's not a joke. And if you think this is even funny, something's wrong with you spiritually. You need to repent. Jesus said to make disciples. Disciples are... He told Peter, he said, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. They left their whole fishing franchise. They had hired men, the Bible says. He left it all, the boats and everything. They got up and followed Jesus. He's looking for us. He said, anyone who not received the kingdom like a little child will not enter it. And then here you got preachers that just proclaim the gospel and have to try to plead with you to give your heart to Jesus. And most of the people sit there and they never do it in their entire life. What a waste. Why even practice it? If you're going to be good at something, go all the way into it. Don't do something halfway. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, enroll in Bible college. I highly recommend it. I think it would be good for everybody to do it. Or at least dedicate your life to reading one book. He says this, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me, not anybody. This is just one scripture. There's dozens of scriptures that hint this way. He said, he who loves me will be loved by my Father. You're not going to be able to experience God's love until you first obey his commands and love him. You'll never experience the love of God. It's just going to be fear and torment in your emotions. He says this. I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself or reveal yourself to the world and not to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, he says, look, did you hear me? He just says the same thing again. Why don't you show yourself to the world? Why are you only going to reveal yourself to those who obey you, Jesus? He says, look, if anyone loves me, he'll obey my teaching. He just says it again. My Father will love him and we will come and make our home with him. In other words, we're going to reveal ourselves to the one who obeys God. You ever consider that maybe, just maybe, that if you got a real genuine pastor that's given his whole heart to Jesus, maybe, just maybe, because he's chosen to obey God, God's revealed himself to him and God's able to reveal that same message through him? Do you think that might possibly be true? He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. And you can rest assured that those who don't obey his word, the word of God, the Bible, they don't obey it. They just like to hear it. It's a beautiful love song. It's like one who plays an instrument well and sings with a beautiful voice. You hear the words but don't put them into practice, he says in Ezekiel 33. It's not enough. There has to come a time where we make a choice that I'm going to act on God's word. I'm going to do everything it says. I'm going to practice these principles. And I'm going to separate myself from the world. I'm going to shut the television off. Pastor seemed awful serious about this today. Maybe he knows what I'm up to behind closed doors. Maybe God showed him something. Maybe he can see that. Maybe God showed him something. Maybe I should really take this message seriously, maybe. To put a little fear of God in you. I seen a vision or a dream. I can't remember what time of day it was. It's come to me often. And it was in the hallway of this building, and I seen a group of you. This speaks to you. It speaks to you. I seen a whole group of you walking down the hallway, and I was pleading with you like this. I said, look, we got to repent. Come, come follow. And you're like, just kept on walking. Some were listening a little bit and walking, and others are just like, whatever. See you later, Pastor. They're walking in a different direction. I was pleading for them to come one direction. They're walking, right. They walked right past me, like it meant nothing to them. You might want to consider these facts. I don't have many dreams like some claim they have. Every day they got dreams and imaginations that don't line up with Scripture. He says, let the prophet who has a dream recall the dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully, declares the Lord. He says, what does chaff have to do with wheat? Is not my word like a fire and like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces? In other words, all these imaginations that people conjure up in their minds about God. He said, no, my word is a fire. It's going to convict. The whole reason the Holy Spirit was sent to the world, Jesus says, was to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Not to coddle people in their sin and babysit them while they go to hell. That's not what the Holy Spirit has come for. He's come to warn and to convict people and to encourage people and to exhort people to come near to God. That basically sums up my message. He says this. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. In other words, he's saying, look, this is set in stone. This is God's word that's being spoken here. I'm telling you that if you want to experience the love of God, you've got to come into the light. You've got to make a full surrender. People, listen to me very carefully. People can be very, very religious. Because the Bible says that God's placed eternity in the hearts of men. And because it's already in the hearts of people to obey God, what they try to do is they make an attempt like Cain did. Cain was practicing religion. He brought a sacrifice just like Abel did. But the problem was, it wasn't the sacrifice that God required. He was practicing religion just like Cain did. Just like Abel did. Cain was practicing religion just like Abel did. But he didn't bring what God wanted. He brought something that was half-hearted. And God says he rejected Cain. Rejected him. You say, well, why did he reject him? He was still trying to do something for God. He wasn't obeying God's word. It's the word. The word is our standard. It's our guide. We got to stick with what the word says. Pastor Nan, I struggle with all the sin. I just can't seem to let it go. Pastor Dan, I just don't see what I'm doing wrong. I don't think I'm doing anything wrong by watching the television. I don't think it's that big a deal to tell lies. I don't think it's that big of a deal, Pastor Dan. You act like everybody's going to hell. You think everybody's going to go to hell, Pastor Dan. Is that what you think? I do all the stuff you're talking about, Pastor Dan, and God still blesses me. You're not blessed. You're not blessed. Psalm 1:1 says you're not blessed. He said the blessed man walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Do you think the godly were the ones that put that secular television on TV that doesn't talk about Jesus, and when it does make a reference to God, it's a blasphemy? Do you think that that's the godly that did that? Or do you think you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly? This is going to make you... Nobody's going to come to your church, Pastor Dan. I don't care what you think. Doesn't make any difference. There were only 8 people that got on the ark, and Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And it's not the righteousness they're out there preaching at you. It was a preacher of living a righteous life. The Bible says, The salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. As we wait for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to purify us from all wickedness, to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. If we're born again, we should be eager to give our tithes. We should be eager to give our offerings. We should be eager to serve in the church. It shouldn't be a big deal to dump the coffee as if you did God a favor. Shouldn't be a big deal, like get angry to vacuum the carpet or something like that. Where's the heart? It's all outward action. Anger inside. Like I deserve something. God better recognize me for this. Are we going to give our whole hearts to Jesus today?
Yes.
Come on, people.
Yes.
Let's take a step further. I know this spoke to everyone in the room on some level. Every one of us need to make adjustments. I don't believe there's anyone in this room that's perfect yet, or anyone listening online that's perfect yet, which means it speaks to all of us to one level or another. But we need to take... God doesn't like it when we take baby steps into Him. I often watch people come out of certain denominations that are really just cults. It's what they are, according to the Bible. It's just a cult. It's having a form of godliness but denying its power. He says, have nothing to do with them. If He tells you to do that, you can be assured God has nothing to do with them. And they try to take baby steps out of religion as if it's pleasing to God, and God despises it. He says, if anyone will not enter the kingdom like a little child, he'll never enter it. How would a little child, if you said a little child come here, they come running. They come running full speed ahead. They don't even look back. They come. Why? Because they're all trusting. They're all trusting. You need to trust that God is real. Well, what if He's not real? He is real. What do you mean if He's not real? They say that there's over a billion stars in this galaxy. And each star is a sun to another planet. Science, your science that you put your faith in tells you this. And they said that there's billions of galaxies, which means it contained with each and every one of those galaxies, there's billions of suns to billions of other planets. Do you think that kind of order comes out of chaos? Do you think an explosion created that kind of perfect order? Where each one of those suns is a certain distance from each one of those planets and they don't burn up? Come on. Just think of it from a logical standpoint. You know that there's a God. Just look at creation. There's too much order. He put food here for the animals and the people to eat. How did the food get there? How did the people get there? They just crawled out of some sloppy soup on the ground. Became a fish, decided that they didn't want to go back in the water and grew legs. Decided they didn't want to be a fish at legs anymore and became some kind of a serpent. And then decided that they're going to become a bird and fly up in that tree over there. Where did that tree come from? I guess I'm going to fly up in that tree over there. Go up in the tree. Say, I don't know if I like being a bird anymore. I'm going to grow some hands. I'm going to turn into a monkey. I'm going to climb over to that tree over there. They got better fruit. I'm going to eat bananas. Climb down the tree. Say, I'm going to become a caveman. I'm going to shave some of this hair off. I'm going to become a human. Let me tell you something. Do you think it evolved for people to look for a form of religion, a form of spirituality? None of the animals did that. Did that evolve? Why don't animals have forms of religion if that's where we came from? You have to bear with me. I'm like shoveling coal out here. But God turns it into diamonds every time. He's saying what He needs to get across to you. We want to obey God with our whole hearts.
Amen.
I can't teach many warm, fuzzy messages, because I'm telling you, the trumpet has been sounding and there's judgment coming on this earth, and we got to get out of here. We got to get out of here. I'm telling you, it's not going to be pretty. We got to get out. I'm telling you, let's get out of here. Let's get out of this planet. Let's go up in the rapture. Okay? Let's get out of here. Just like Noah preached, he said it was just like in the days of Noah. Noah's saying, look guys, get on the ark. There's room. Get on the ark. There's a flood coming. They said, you're stupid. You're a stupid old 400 something year old man. You are an idiot. It's never flooded anywhere on the earth. And you're building a boat in the middle of the land. You think it's going to flood. You really think judgment's coming. He says, God's going to bring judgment because of all your sin. You need to repent. You guys need to repent. They laughed at him. Billions of people possibly seen that ark. There was just as many or more people on the earth in Noah's day as there was today. And only eight people survived. I don't think there's that many people. Do the math. People lived 900 and something years. You imagine how many generations a 900 and something year old man would have and how many grandchildren they would have? You do the math. The calculation is approximately somewhere between 3 and 6 billion people were on the face of the earth. Some people say more. I'm telling you, it's not a flood of water this time. He says he's judging the earth with fire. It's going to be much more severe. But first he's going to, an attempt to refine. He's just going to lift his hand enough for judgment to fall on lower levels. So perhaps the hard-hearted rebels will call upon the name of the Lord. It's all it takes to be saved. But unfortunately, it says, even after all these judgments, they wouldn't repent. It says over and over in Revelation. People's hearts are hard in this generation. I don't believe this message is from God. He's showing you signs to prove it is. I know this is not a feel-good message. And I'm not pumping you up with revival, but we're going to attempt to lay a foundation of repentance so we can cause revival by getting serious about prayer. We want to devote our lives to prayer. We want to be separate from the world. People will make up all sorts of excuses why they have to talk to so-and-so on the phone when God sees their heart and He knows it's because they refuse to let go of the world. It's not okay. God sees what you do behind closed doors. He will not be deceived. I will not be deceived. God lives in me. I know what people do. He wants you to be free. He's not trying to restrict you. He's not trying to take your fun away. He's trying to bless you. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to experience and feel His love. But until people repent, they'll never feel it. They'll never experience His love. We have to come to Him. He says, come near to me and I'll come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. God loves you. Okay? He loves you enough that He sent Jesus to die for your sins, but you got to repent. You got to give your whole heart to Him. I gave my whole heart to Him. I came to church today. That's a good step towards God. But let's take a giant leap and just throw all the filth away. Everything that's not godly. Ask yourself, is there anything in your house that if Jesus walked in your house and did a thorough inspection, a white glove inspection, is there anything in your house you wouldn't want Him to see? Because if there is, you need to get it out because He already knows it's there. He already sees it. He already sees it. I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. Say these words from your heart. Close your eyes. Let's just, you know, it's always good to rededicate our lives to the Lord. Or to renew, or maybe take that first step to really get serious about your relationship. Jesus was serious enough about having a relationship with you that He suffered 3 days and 3 nights in hell over it. All He asks you to do is get rid of the worldliness and the sin. That's all He asks. He doesn't ask you to go to hell. to enter into a relationship with Him for 3 days and three nights. He just wants you to stop with the sin. That's it. It's not too much to ask. Say these words from your heart. Say, God.
God.
Say it out loud. Say, God.
God.
I forgive everyone.
For all the sins
they've committed against me.
I
come to you now.
With a loving heart.
In genuine repentance.
And
I ask you to forgive me.
For all my worldliness.
I ask you to forgive me.
For not taking your word.
100% seriously. I ask you to come into my life, Jesus.
I surrender every part of me to you.
I yield to you.
Work in me, Lord.
Help me to do what your word says.
Help me not to be careless
or reckless
as a Christian
that doesn't even care.
To find out what you require,
as written in your word.
Help me instead,
by your grace,
and by the power of your Holy Spirit,
to dive into your word,
to devour your word,
to crave it like a newborn baby,
so by your word I may grow up,
become mature.
Fulfill the ministry you have for me
and be an example for others to look at
and say that is a child of God.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.